Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Hello, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. Everyone has a story to share, and we invite you to share yours. Many of us have personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking. We invite you to join us as we explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, and how we can integrate them into our everyday lives. Although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this show centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. Your co-hosts for this evening's Signs of Life show, in addition to myself, Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center, are Janet Mayer, Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present, and Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World. This show is about you. We want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. And I would like to say again, you never know how important your story may be to someone in need of reassurance that there is life beyond the physical world and that it is possible to communicate with and receive signs from loved ones who have passed. For callers in North America, you can reach us at 1-888-627-6008, and for callers outside of North America, 1-323-744-4831. Good evening, Betty and Janet.
Hello, Kim and Janet.
Hi, Kim. Hi, Betty.
How are you, Janet and Betty?
We're good.
Doing well.
So we always ask you, Janet, because we know you meditate before the show, what seems to be important tonight for us to focus on?
Well, before I even say about anything about that, I have an interesting story to share. So if
Excellent.
I can share that, that would be great.
Right on point.
Okay. And if anybody wants to call in, I will be happy to pause. I can always go back to my story later. You know, we're here for an hour.
Right.
But I have this really cool story. I got to give you just a tad little background. We have in our living room, we have this little ball that my husband will, you know, it's like a like a little massage ball. You know, you rub your foot on it to massage your feet. You know, it's one of those little things. And we've had this for years. I mean, anybody who comes over sees it all the time on the floor, but it's usually under, you know, the coffee table. And, you know, we use it and it's in the same place all the time. It really doesn't go anywhere. And we went to bed one night, you know, and the next morning we wake up and this ball is about 20 feet from where it was the night before. And it would be a 90 degree turn from where it was. So it has to roll straight and then turn left to get into the kitchen.
Oh my
and
God.
It was really funny because my husband was up first and, you know, he was going to go play golf and, you know, he just kind of looked at it and thought, oh, I wonder what, you know, Janet, why she put the ball there. And, you know, and it was over by like where the, you know, the counter is, bar chairs or the counter stool chairs. And it has to kind of even go, I have a waterfall edge and it had to go around that. And it was really funny because that's where it was. And when I got up, I thought he moved it and he thought I moved it. And we didn't say anything throughout the whole day. And it took a little while. And then suddenly that evening, I said something about, why did you move the ball in the kitchen? He's like, I didn't move it there. I thought you moved it there. And I'm like, I didn't move it there. And we ended up realizing that, you know, it had moved on its own. And now I know a ball can roll anywhere, believe me, but it's been in the same spot for how many years? So we kept trying to play with it, to roll it a little bit, roll it a lot, roll it this way, and it never would make it into the kitchen. So it was really funny because I had recently asked a friend, to give me a sign, and this friend is really, a lot of fun, and I know that he can do a lot of things, and I thought, I think it was him.
Oh, that's really something. Gosh.
So it was really cool though, because I mean it, I mean it's not like it just rolled, a couple feet. I mean it had to roll into a whole nother room, and it had to do a 90-degree angle to get there. And it's
Really?
just like, how could that possibly happen? You know what I mean? So
Yes. Well, it sounds like that friend was going to do something that would make you know it was he who was doing it.
yes,
Something
yes.
different.
I believe it was him. Well, I had asked him for a sign, so I know he came through, and he's given me one a couple weeks before that too. So I think he's pretty good at doing that. But I believe we have a caller.
Yes, I think so. Well, thank you, Janet. That I like that story.
Yes.
Oh, great. Good evening, Sean from North Carolina. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Good.
Great to have your voice on the phone with us. And you'd like to share a personal experience about your father in spirit?
I'm not sure if it was him because I couldn't see a face or anything, but it's kind of a long story that led up to this, but like in March of 2024, my dad passed away of cancer. And around that time, I was kind of starting to dig into paranormal stuff more, and digging into that kind of ended up leading me to getting mentored by a medium. And that was about maybe 3 months into my mentorship, and it was about 6 months after my dad passed away. I got off of work, closed my laptop, and I looked out the back window, and I saw that the bird feeders were empty. So I went to go and fill them up. But when I stepped outside, I felt like a presence. I don't know another way to describe it. I just felt something there, and it made me pause. It just like just the air, the energy around the area just felt different. And I kind of paused and was like, okay, hello, is someone here? And just welcomed them to talk to me. It just genuinely felt like someone was there. And I went to go fill the bird feeders, and I was knelt down, and I started to feel like someone was behind me, and I started feeling almost like a pressure on my back, like almost like a hand. And I wasn't my shirt or anything. I was shrugging, and I couldn't stop it. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. And I went to go inside, and I welcomed it to come in and try to talk to me. And kind of hours went by. I kind of got distracted by things around the house. And then around like 7 o'clock that night, I went into my office to look for something. I have two sets of French doors going into my office, and I was behind one of them looking for something, and I felt the door kind of bump into my back, and I originally thought it was my wife kind of bumped the door, and then I remembered, oh, no, this door just kind of swings open by itself. So I just went to go push the door closed, and then I felt like I nearly ran into something, and I backed up, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I actually genuinely thought that I was hallucinating. There was a humanoid shape and what looked like a heat wave just standing there, and I backed up thinking, what the hell am I looking at? And I'm looking all around it, around the walls, around the other door, and everything looked normal except for this one spot. And I was kind of like amazed and really excited. I'm like, am I like seeing someone right now? And I was trying to talk to it, and it just stood there. And I went up and I reached out and I touched it. And I felt like static just shoot through my arm. And it made me pull my arm back, like just whoa. Like it didn't hurt. It just kind of, I just felt like static, not like chills, but like electrical static. And I backed up and was kind of just amazed, like, wow, I can't believe I just experienced that. That was crazy. And I noticed that it just wasn't moving. So I asked if it could come up to me. collided right up to me, like right in my face. And it felt like it embraced me. And I felt just pure static run from my feet all the way up my legs, up to my head. My whole body was just lit up. And I was just frozen, like amazed. And then something else came. I felt again something else rush up from my feet, and it was the feeling of absolute pure joy and love. And it was the most incredible feeling I've ever felt in my life. And I've been chasing that ever since. And I haven't been able to experience something like that again or try to communicate with this being again. But what's kind of wild is my wife was actually waiting for me in the living room because we were going to sit down and watch TV. I didn't quite know what to do. I was like, "Hey, honey, hold on, sorry, there's something in my office. Like, give me a second." I just kind of like, okay, maybe let's just pause and come back to this. Like, I want to. Now, this happened over like 30 minutes that I was experiencing this, and I just really wanted to spend more time with it. But at the same time, I was just like, okay, I need to pause. I need to just kind of wrap my head around what's happening right now, and we can try again tomorrow or something. And so I went and sat down. She was watching TV. I'm just staring at my lap, thinking like, what did I just experience? And about an hour later, this is going to be kind of wild, but one of my cats, we have four cats, one of my cats decided to pounce on the other and start kicking her, and then there was just a big noise, and so I quickly jumped up to try and separate them, and I tripped and I fell, and I actually fractured my ankle.
Oh no.
Now,
Uh-oh.
because of I don't see this as like at the time I was kind of like, what the heck, why did this have to happen right after I just had this experience? Like, it was just one thing after another. But I later kind of realized this kind of it was my right ankle, so I couldn't drive, I couldn't go to work. So I had to telework, and I was kind of just stuck on a couch, and I was stuck there kind of just being forced to be present with myself.
Contemplate.
And so I actually see this as like a positive thing that happened, because then 3 months into that, I actually had a spiritual awakening. I was just sitting there and thinking about.
John, I think you lost the audio.
Uh-oh.
No, sorry, I'm just trying to compose myself.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking about my father, and we didn't have the best relationship. I had a lot of kind of leftover pain. And I just also just from other things from my past, and I just suddenly felt this feeling of just like letting everything go. Like, just suddenly, I just suddenly understood that we are actually all one. And if it wasn't for all of these things that happened in my life, it wouldn't have led me up to this moment. And I suddenly just felt love for everyone that's ever been in my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it was, I didn't have a word to, a name to put to it. Later kind of learn about a spiritual awakening and what that experience was like. And I realized that's what I had.
That
And
is.
so I kind of feel like what I experienced that night, and that feeling of the joy and love rushing through me with the static, was spirit kind of activating me. And it was an amazing moment, and I've wanted to experience that again or something similar, and just to dive into mediumship more, but it just hasn't really been working out all that well. But I've been since then, I have been growing immensely and letting go of the past and letting go of all these negative feelings and feeling more compassionate and understanding towards others. And it's been a process, but it's been good.
That's an amazing, absolutely an amazing and powerful experience. And it's interesting that in that first evening, that energy was, I mean, the static, I mean, it was frequency, it was actual energy, as you certainly experienced, entered you and made some, certainly opened you up and made it possible for so many things in you to become conscious. It's one just has to pause when we hear an experience like that, because that is such an enlightenment to know and experience that knowing that there is love and we're all one. And when you can experience that love and understand all of your experiences bringing you to that point, it's just a major gift.
Yeah, and I want to add a couple things. I think that when you were mentioning what you were seeing and that energy, that's what I'm calling it, an energy, it's almost as if you were looking and you were seeing what we are all actually made of. You were seeing spirit, you were seeing what the energy is each
I
person.
felt like I witnessed the soul is what I felt like I saw. That's what we are.
The energy that
Yeah.
oh, that's good. I agree with that.
I think so. And I think I would like to suggest something because I feel that, you are very open, that you have, when you mentioned you want to have that same experience, I would suggest you instead say you're open for the next experience that you are ready to experience. Because I understand with you having, this profound thing happening in front of you, and you want it because I mean I know I've had my own experience, and I know exactly how you feel in the sense of you want more. You want more. It was so beautiful. I had called it personally. I said it wasn't an earth love. I mean, it was so amazing, so profound, so beautiful. It just encompassed everything about you. And I think that if you just say you want to be open for the next thing that is like that or whatever is to come next, I think that you will receive something because you're letting them know that you want the same thing, and a lot of times it doesn't happen. You don't get the exact same thing, but I think you will get something more. I really do. I think that you're right there, and I think that the reason you did have to be stuck quotes at home was to be open and to start recognizing what was going on and what you were experiencing and how clear you are and how connected you were and how beautiful it was, and kind of just to kind of focus in there to say, hey, this is what happened and that you had this awakening. And now, what else is out there that I can see or that I can experience that is around me? I mean, I think that that's what's really profound about that moment too, is it's opening you up to the next validation. It's opening you up to the next thing. And you don't have to ask for that. I mean, you want that same thing. Believe me, I understand that. You want that same experience, but maybe there's something a little different or more. Are there, they're working with you, spirits working with you on different levels to open you up in different ways. So, kind of stay open to that too. But I mean, it's a beautiful story. I mean, I really believe you had a, profound experience. And I think that's awesome. I mean, as you were talking, I was just like, oh, yay, that's really cool, because it shows that, everybody can have this. Everybody can, you were, like you said, you are working towards that. You're working to be more open. You're working to connect. And you also had that experience where you let go and you said, you know what? It's okay. All these experiences that, didn't mesh with my father, it's okay. It's all love. It's all part of our life journey. And, that was amazing.
Yes, and Jenna, just to add to that, I think that it is so natural that we want to experience that love that we feel. And I think that's exactly what we should long for. there may be experiences that you have to go through in order to be able to hold that all the time. But I think that is our identity, our full beingness, is this kind of love and knowing that we're all one, but love experienced in a way that we never even imagined. It's so powerful. And I think it's absolutely natural to want to have that experience, because I think eventually as we evolve, we will live in that experience all the time. But maybe there are certain kinds of experiences that you have to have that can open you.
How you get there.
Yeah, how you get there to, I mean, to holding it all the time, you know, that there's some kind
different doors.
And because that's, we're working toward that, and you know exactly that is our longing to experience that all the time. Mm-hmm. But we might have to go through some things.
I like what Janet said too, though, about being open to what's you know, it's like praying for the highest good, the greater good.
Yes.
You know, whatever's in my best interest, I open to that and accept that. But also, of course, we're seeking that ultimate that Sean is the ultimate goal. And Sean, I think I wonder actually about that static, that electricity you felt moving through you, and what role that might have played as a catalyst for all those other things that you could step back from and see. You saw a lot, and you know what? As well as, I mean, just kind of softening something when we have difficult relationships and painful things and disappointments, and then a loss on top of that, it's a lot of layers, you know. But maybe that staticky stuff kind of helped cut through some of it and loosen it up a little bit.
That's good,
you know, to prepare you for that next step. And I love that you could see that break, the fracture, as an integral part of putting you in a position to sit, be still, pay attention. You're open, ponder this, you know. And really process it.
It's funny, I only kind of realized or kind of came to that understanding like in the past couple of months. I look back and just like, oh, I see the pattern now.
Oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good. And that, didn't you, Sean, say that after the static, that's when that light entered you?
So like I had reached out and felt the static, and then when I asked it if it could come to me, it like glided right up to me, and it felt like an embrace. It just kind of almost like merged partially with me. Oh, and when I felt that joy and stuff, I, you know, the first kind of words that came out of my mouth was like, "Dad." But then I suddenly realized like, well, this one is a little too, my dad was taller for one. And the feeling I had was also like, it was reuniting with a very, very old friend that I haven't seen for a very long time. And so I kind of wondered, maybe that was my guide coming to kind of just, you know, activate me or something.
And give you support in your journey. And that energy, I mean, it's kind of showing you, look, you have this, you can do this, you know, you have this ability, you know, keep going. I mean, I'm sure it kickstarted you even more and got you really, because you were just like in awe. So I'm sure that, you know, that is a validation. And whenever it's spontaneous like that, that's really cool, because it's just showing, it's not like you planned it or said, oh, you know, I wonder if there's someone around. It's like you felt it, you knew. So I think that's wonderful.
And I wonder,
it's a beautiful story.
Yeah, and Sean, I'm thinking too that in the love that was there, I mean, clearly your dad was very much on your mind, and you're thinking about the whole relationship, that that may have been the way he could.
That might have been his gift that gave him the courage to come through so fast.
Yes. Who knows? I mean,
I kind of thought about that as well. Like, you know, he was given a toolbox for life, and he didn't get the right tools from his father. And he just did the best that he could with what he had, because he definitely did not have a good relationship with his father. But I know he was probably 10 times better than his. So it's just generational trauma. And so I felt that forgiveness for him, but it still had come and go with other parts, but it definitely was, like you said, like a jump start.
And it may have been so difficult for him as it is for many people. They just can't express, the love in this lifetime. They just don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's learned behavior
I agree.
for the most
Because,
part.
exactly.
Well, that is a very powerful story, and I know many people are going to really be grateful to you, Sean, for telling it.
It was my pleasure. I've told very few people, and I told my mom eventually about it, and she was kind of not surprised, and she said that her dad's sister, I think she may have been on the spectrum, but she apparently could see spirits, and her dad could sense them, but he couldn't see them or anything like that. And I never knew about that. She never told me about that.
Just one thing I'm wondering with the cats, that one, did you say one attacked the other?
Yeah.
You
He's
just wonder
a
what
jerk.
kind of energy they might have been experiencing, if it kind of bumfuzzled them a bit, I don't know, that's just a stray thought thrown out there. But I mean, who knows? They could have certainly been feeling some kind of energy they didn't know what to do
And
with.
perceiving
Yeah,
somehow.
perceiving it. Like they say,
Oh
the
yeah,
love.
they're very sensitive.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's
Wow.
interesting. Well, thank you so much for
Thank
calling
you,
us,
yes.
John, and sharing this with us and all the people who are listening now and all the people who will hear this episode in the archives at Signs of Life
Well,
Radio
that's
on
right, yes.
foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much, Sean. And I
Yep,
will
no
be
problem.
interested to hear other
Yeah.
experiences that are probably
Feel
coming if you feel
free.
like sharing down the road.
I'm looking forward to them. Like there was one other time where I thought I sensed it, and I saw my arm hair standing up, and they were kept pointing in this one direction, but that was like the last thing I've ever really sensed.
Okay, so it comes.
Yes. Okay, take
Okay,
care,
thank
Sean.
you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
That was a rich
Very,
story,
very
wasn't
much.
that?
And Janet, I'm thinking about Sean's interpretation of his ankle. Kim retired in the summer. Do you want to tell the story?
Well, first she broke her arm at the shoulder, and I was sternly stopped and had to be seated for the better part of a month, hardly able to move and
And
sleeping,
speak.
sitting up and all that. And I had plenty of time to think too. And, just like, okay, hit me. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Well, because Kim was in this high powered, very intense, stressful job forever. And
Right.
she had decided to retire in 2 months, but oh no, the body
No,
wasn't
I
going to
gave
wait
him 3 months'
for 3 months.
notice.
So the body didn't, I wasn't going to wait. It threw her in the floor in the craziest kind of accident, broke her
Silly.
shoulder. And I said, Kim, I really think that you would have probably just been very full force in your retirement, doing the things for Calm Life, going full force. And this way you had to stop. And it could get used to what it meant to be still.
Right. And so instead of giving and them actually having a received a 12-week, 13-week notice, I was out 5 weeks later and they didn't have the opportunity yet, or they hadn't put it
Yes.
together. But it's just amazing how, like what Sean was going through, sometimes life just requires you going to be still. It's happened
Right.
many times to me. It's just, I think it's just like the universe's smackdown. No, you don't. Before something worse happens, you need to slow down and take a little inventory of what's
If
going on.
exactly, and if we don't do it, the body will do it for us, and maybe not in the way we would choose. I think Kim didn't have a choice. I had a similar thing when I was in graduate school working on my doctorate, and it was wild, and I kept feeling all the time I was swimming to keep my nose above water. And I was out in the garden doing something. I got blood poisoning, And
Oh.
I also broke my arm, and I had to be out several weeks. And you know, that gave me my sanity back. Just having that time to, because I was going to teach summer school a double time and then also go back then, right? Very, and I was full force at that moment in the graduate program. And my body just said, nope, we're not going to do that. And I had those few weeks, and then I became more balanced and able to get through everything, you know, in a calmer way. So, but
Yeah, I
I thought
think
I wouldn't
it
have
causes
chosen
you
that
to
way.
Yeah, it does make you refocus.
It does make you refocus. And I thought to myself, you know, this is not the way I would have chosen to do it, but it was kind of like the body saying, yes, you didn't choose
That's
to do
right.
it. And that's why we had to do
You're going to get
it.
another chance.
Yeah, right.
No, I think that's beautiful. I want to give the number for our audience listeners to call in and share a story. For North America, callers can dial 1-888-627-6008. And for outside of North America, please call us at 1-323-744-4831.
That's great.
I have something I want to share, ladies and
Okay.
listeners. I was looking through Love Beyond Life, The Healing Power of After-Death Communications by Joel Martin and Patricia Romanowski. And in the After-Death Communication section, there was a story shared about a 13-year-old girl named Lisa, or the family of Lisa. She had been struck by a car, was in a coma, and actually, poor baby, she was on her birthday. And so when she passed, her not and this and the this is an example kind of cluster communications within the same family, where nobody's telling anybody about their experience, and it comes out through the interviews of the family for the book. So
Oh.
anyway, so the father, on the evening that Lisa had passed, had what he had described as a very real dream. And there were a number of children, black, white, Asian. They were playing, running around, and then he caught sight of his daughter, Lisa, and he said, "Oh my God, that's Lisa. That's my daughter." And he had felt tremendous love. He said, "You can't physically feel this kind of love. It was something that you cannot explain." And he went over to her, and her face was shining and bright, and she was playing with the children. And he said that he knew that those were also children, obviously, who had passed on. But the take on it was that she was happy and well and shining and playing and with others. And then within days of that, Alex's wife and daughter each had a separate experience. So the wife and sister, yeah, well, his daughter. So the sister of Lisa, Linda, experienced a vivid dream in which she says, "Lisa looked well and happy. I could see her dark hair and blue eyes. She said to me, 'I'm fine, don't worry.'" And she found that dream very comforting. And then the mother of Lisa, her name was Carmen, she had a different kind of experience. She was impressed with the thought of the message from her that's, "I'm fine, Mom, don't worry, I have to go." And telepathically, Carmen, the mom, says, "Well, what are you doing?" And she says, "Well, we go to school here. We're learning, but everything's different." And the upside of it is, when you think of something here, it's when you think of something, it's here. Basically, that's how we learn. You can manifest like that there. And so the father says it wasn't thought or imagination, it was Lisa that was coming to him. So this passage also was talking about the typical things you expect that the other side would want to be communicating to you, that a lot of people think it's, you know, "I love you" and "I miss you" and that kind of thing. But those don't seem to be the common ones. The common ones are, "I didn't suffer. I was in no pain," or, "I'm okay. I'm fine." You know, a reassurance that they're okay. I
That's
thought that was pretty interesting. Sorry for the long story,
no,
but.
I love it. I think it of those people experiencing in different ways that she is okay. And certainly that was the case when my son passed, is that he very much wanted right away, that everything is fine, I'm okay, and to let us know something about the other side. But it was first thing, because here we've lived on this planet with the worst worldview that there is nothing, and people suffer so deeply and tragically when someone dies, that when they pass over, if they can get through it all, the first thing is, we're okay, we're okay.
Well,
And
Ishvan
usually,
had one of those too at the accident, the experience of the accident, right? That I was out of the body before the body hit the ground.
oh, he
Was
did, yeah, then in not suffering, yes, he wanted us to know, I was out of the body, I was out of my body before I hit the truck. And then Ishvan, my husband, when he was killed, he got through the same thing, is that he was out of the body before the body hit the ground. He was thrown out of the car and landed on the ground, and then the car fell on him. He said, "Don't worry about a thing. I felt nothing. I was out of the body before the body hit the ground." And I think that that's a pretty typical thing that people say. I've heard many stories of accidents in which, when we think of how it happened, it's awful, and we just feel
And
terrible
you
about what
worry
they
about
might
the
have suffered. Yeah.
suffering.
And
Yeah,
it was like,
indeed.
no, there was no suffering. We were out very
So,
quickly.
yeah. That and so those are the kind of messages probably the parents didn't know they needed to hear
Yeah,
as much
yeah,
as, you know.
yeah. Yeah, it was kind of like that the love is, I mean, you feel it,
Yeah.
usually. What were you saying, Janet?
No, I was just listening. I was gonna add on to your conversation, but I also was going back to Sean's story because I was thinking, when anyone pays attention, when they have anything like that happen to them in any way, I think you become more aware, and that awareness also helps block out like the noise that's going on around you in the world. And I think it does bring people more in tune. And I think that, I just wanted to add that as well, but I also agree with when, loved ones pass. I mean, just from, the different readings that I've had, that is true. They really want their loved ones to know they're okay, that, they stopped in to let you know. I mean, I don't, some people say, oh, they're around you 24/7. I don't see that personally. The way I see it is a little differently, that they do drop in, that when you're sending out your love, it's like the light of a lighthouse, and it's like, beckoning that call. They're coming in, and they just want to make sure that you're okay too. They're fine. They're doing okay over there, and they want to make sure you're doing okay. And so they stop in, or they make something known to you. I mean, we had that with my mom. All of the kids, we all that night had our name. She called our name out, each one of us individually, within a half hour. And nobody said anything till the next day. We're like, hey, this happened. Mom came to me, and then they're like, well, mom came to me, and mom came to me, and it was really cool, because it's like she was letting us all know, she's okay, it's all right, the way, I'm fine. And I think that that's really important, that when we receive that, to make sure we acknowledge it and acknowledge it. When you tell someone, if someone, I always say, if someone doesn't, they make fun of it, or like, oh yeah, whatever, be like, you know what, that's okay, they didn't have that experience. You have the experience. If you have the experience, it's your personal experience. Hold on to that, and
You know it's true.
100%,
That's right, because someone else who has had the experience can't know what your experience taught you. And I think even before someone dies, there is an effort to get that across. I think in my own case, again, with my son's death, is that I had dreams for 2 years in various ways that he would be leaving. And my husband did too. We had a lot of experiences about his passing. And then he was in the hospital for 13 days, and they had him on every machine there practically. And so on the morning that they were going to take him off of the machines to see if his brain would respond, so it was a very crucial morning. And just before I woke up that morning, I had a dream in which a spirits were just coming toward me very quickly. They would run to me, close to me, and say, "Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? A miracle, a miracle." And that's why I named the book The Miracle of Death, because I didn't know at the time, does it mean that he's going to miraculously recover? But I also knew the dream world that it could also be death that was coming. But and it was precisely that, that was I ready really to acknowledge the miracle that death is, that we can come into this body and play these roles and love and create, and then we can get leave the body and go back to spirit and create another life if that's what we're ready for. But I mean, it is a miracle. I had that sense of what an incredible miracle it is that we as spirits can come into matter and be individual beings and love each other and play incredible games and experience the depths of possibilities. And but I think that the spirit world also wanted me to be ready. Are you ready? Trying to help me to realize something big was coming.
And that reminds me of that experience you had had with the framed painted picture. And it was when Pishti was coming in from one perspective, it's death to him. But from your perspective, he was coming in and it was life from yours.
Yes, that was really interesting. He was coming in. He was being born, so to speak. But he was as a young man and he was coming through that gate. But for him, it was death, death to the world that he was in, into the just not being in the body.
Yeah.
But for me, he was being born into matter, into the body of Pishti. So yeah. Oh, it's just, you know, it's what the human being, the soul with spirit is capable of. I think we're just beginning to remember how incredibly powerful and creative is our potential.
It's exciting. The possibilities are exciting, really.
They are.
No matter what else we can say, and there's a lot.
Yes.
But there are tremendous possibilities.
And I agree with you. And we're breaking, we're pulling back the veil because we must, if we are to survive as a species, we must remember this, the beings that we are, these great, powerful, spiritual creators.
Oh, and I forgot to say something, too. I thought it was great. I wanted to ask Sean if he had been able to share his experiences with anyone. And he had said before he that there were some. So hats off to you, Sean. And that's how we keep connecting this new tapestry, the threads of this new tapestry.
Yes.
And the more we can share them, the more we can trust them.
That's true. And of
if
course, we're
careful.
Carefully, yes. We
trust.
That's why we have this program, is that we have learned to be careful to share it with someone who could be open. But oh, how they need that sharing if they're open to it and can receive it.
And reinforce.
Well, and I would like to remind people that every experience is unique and that, you know, one experience isn't better than the other experience. You know, if someone has one and they're like, you know, what Sean's experience, it was profound. And they're like, well, I just have this experience. Or, you know, it doesn't matter what you had. If you personally had it, it is really important to you. And spirit comes through in all different ways. I mean, I, you know, just, you know, in my own world, I have a lot of different experiences on different levels. And I think that when you individualize each experience and you're like, okay, you know, this one I believe came from this person, this one gave me this sign, it's like they are all profound. And we have to remember that everything that, you know, if even if somebody says, well, you know, I know we've had callers in the past that say, well, this one might not be that important, but for me, blah blah blah, and I think, you know what, you've had it, it's an amazing validation, it's an amazing experience. And for, you know, anyone to recognize that and to notice it and pay attention is huge, because the spirit world is trying. They want to connect with us. They want to let us know they are okay. You know, our, you know, whether they're children, their parents, grandparents, friends, whoever they may be, they want to come through and let us know that they're doing okay. And they want to show us a sign. And, you know, sometimes people ask for a specific sign, or some people are open to a sign. I mean, just for me with, you know, mine was a simple sign of a ball. And, you know, it was just, it was amazing to think that something can happen. But I've had things, as you guys both know, in my house, I've had a lot of things, experiences where things move. And I think that's really important, that We have to be, you know, have gratitude for each sign. We have to be thankful for each individual sign. And it is huge when it happens. And, you know, sometimes you can sit and laugh and be like, oh my gosh, that was crazy. Or other times you could be like, you know, it just blows you away. I mean, when Sean was talking about his experience, I thought of the one I have where I saw the woman at the end of the bed. And I said, you know, to me, that was my profound, one of my, you know, couple profound experiences where there was this rainbow of love coming at me, and it was so overwhelming, powerful. I can't even call it an earth love. It was just so beyond anything I've experienced. And so as Sean's talking, I was going into his. But then when somebody else shares an experience, it's like I'm going into their experience and experiencing with them because it's so beautiful. And I think it's really important we all remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really liked it, Janet, that, you know, it's that way in almost all aspects of life. It's the small things, really, that open us up to the degree that we can be opened at that time. But they're small gestures, even, that can mean so much in a person's life.
Oh, yeah.
And so to be sure not to put them in a rating scale, you know.
Right, right. And I mean, and that's true because, I mean, everybody who calls in, they're beautiful stories. It's amazing. And I think that that's what's so great about, you know, the show is that everybody can share where they're at, where they're coming from, who, you know, someone that they lost might have, you know, a silly story. Somebody else is profound in a different way. And, you know, and I think that that's just what we need to, you know, keep being open to what is, whatever's going to be coming from whoever path is, you know, next.
Because we have,
do you want to give the phone number out again real quick?
Sure. For North America, 1-888-627-6008. Outside North America, 1-323-744-4831. And Janet, I like what you said. It's just another profound experience.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, it's not like there's a profound and then there are
it's another. Yep,
it's
right.
Just,
anytime we're touched by spirit, it's profound.
And I think we can never say too often what you say most shows, Janet, is that just we have to be grateful for each experience and each gift.
And open to receive them.
That's right. That's right. Right. Laura from California is on with us, and she would like to share a personal experience about a deep connection. We have about 8 minutes, so we welcome you, Laura. I just wanted to let you know that we're getting towards the end. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you so much. And it's my first time even listening or calling in. And I just like when you're just talking and sharing about like how everybody's unique experience is so different, because no one can really truly understand and not even know if it's something, you know, that if nobody else has to believe it to know that it is
right,
an incredible experience and connection that you have. That's beautiful. I didn't even probably connect to I believe she's my spirit guide. She's my angel. She's everything. She's meant to have been part of my story, but she didn't come into this world because about 30 years ago, I had an abortion. And so I never brought this beautiful child into existence, but I know her soul exists. And I know she's has a powerful message to share. And it wasn't until I was ready to share it with the world and bring it out was that, did I even really understand and find that connection. Really started talking about her. Like when you mentioned about a dream, it was like 6 years, you know, for the longest time, it's this deep pain, this deep trauma, this deep hurt that you don't talk about. I'd only shared with one person, but it was I just always felt there's something more to this beautiful story that I needed to find healing for and find just figure out everything. And I had a dream one time having the spirit guide that was thousands of miles away, and then I just came across. It wasn't. It ended up not being her, but everything in our life is like a piece of the puzzle and a breadcrumb that God leaves, the universe leaves for you to like discover, and just starting me on that track of just reaching out and speaking and talking and sharing, and you know. And then for a while I didn't talk and didn't share, and I haven't shared in a while because it's a hard thing when sometimes maybe people don't really understand. But I know I have to keep talking and sharing because her story is so impactful. Her name represents love. Her name stands for love, is loving yourself. And that message came to me 5 years ago, and I spoke it out loud, and I felt that. And it's something I've always needed to know for myself. I've needed that message for myself. So I felt like she was always meant to be part of my story and part of my healing, but also so many others. She's got a beautiful, so her soul didn't come into existence, but we all, like you said, we come into existence and then we die, and then we come, you know, return again. So yes. I know that's what, that was all she was ever meant to be, was the most beautiful, impactful, like her story lives beyond what I could have ever even brought her into this world.
And you've had a relationship with her.
I truly believe that. And I was always afraid of death. I had never wanted to even approach the topic of death when I was growing up and young and stuff. And when my father passed away, I, you know, still wasn't really in tune to it as much, because I wasn't talking about it. That's when I hadn't shared. Years later, my mom told me she knew that, you know, my mom had an intuition. My father had an intuition. They had these intuitions that they knew about, but I never spoke at those times, you know, and I wasn't in that state of really connecting. And when my mom passed 3 years ago, if I would have never had built this connection with Lily, and this connection that I really truly didn't understand, but that's beautiful and it's powerful. When my mom passed, it was this beautiful experience. It was sad and traumatic, but beautiful at the same time. And you know, she speaks to me. I feel more connected to my mom than I ever did before, and I just feel like they were all part of my, you know, spirit world. My mom, my dad, and my daughter, and grew up living there, and it's powerful, you know. And I just wonder, I was curious if you've ever had anyone who's ever spoke about either through an abortion or miscarriage and a child that they never brought into this world, but having this deep connection that, you know, they speak to you. And when you're open to it, like, the messages come all the time. But sometimes I fall into that space of not feeling connected enough, because I lower myself. I don't believe in the words that she was meant to bring into my life. Sometimes I don't believe them enough to really keep fighting for this story that I know is very impactful and just needs to be shared and talked about more and more. I spoke about it for
Laura,
years.
Just about another minute left. I just want to let you know, if we want to allow Betty or Janet a chance to respond to your question, just so we don't get cut off too soon.
And I want to say very quickly, I have a friend who, when she was in graduate school, became pregnant, and she and her husband were just not in a situation at all, she felt. At any rate, she made a choice to have an abortion, but she later had experiences in which, when she did have a child, she knew that was the spirit who came through that child, and the really interesting stories that convinced her of that. Anyway, maybe Janet wants to respond to you.
Oh, that's okay.
We about ran out of time, so all I will say is, yes, I have had people that have come through that have also said that their loved ones like that come through. So, it, you know, that is a beautiful experience.
Yes,
I'm sorry we can't talk longer, but I know we have to end here. So if it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and say the Mahayama prayer. May all beings everywhere with whom we are interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey.
Thank you, Janet.
Thank you. Yes.
And thank you to everyone listening.
And for everyone who called in.
And for TJ, the producer.
Yes, indeed. And good night.
Good night.